Welcome to the Trim Radio Network, and of course, this tonight is My World, Live, Laugh, or Whatever with Stu Scheer. The opinions expressed by our host, co-host, guest, myself, and others is not necessarily that of the Trim Radio Network, its owners, managers, or others, and any information shared by us is not to be considered to be used as advice. We inform, we don't advise. It's as simple as that. That song right there is Leave It to Beaver, covered under our BMI music license, 615-1658. And we do have a call-in number, 803-866-1667. Anyway, you can call in, give us your opinion. Just no cussing, no cursing. And without further ado, here is Stu.
Hey, Michael. It's Wednesday. Boy, is it Wednesday. I'll tell you what, guys. Every now and then, you ever get that thing where you just can't get to sleep at night, like there's some type of thought running around in your head saying, no, don't go to sleep yet, it's not time, we have a lot to discuss. Oh, I've had two of those nights. I think I'm running on about 4 hours sleep, maybe a little bit less, and the mind is running in fifth gear, and it's getting ready to go into super turbo. And you think I could catch a nap today? No way. I had so much stuff going on. It's been one of those Wednesdays. And hopefully, things slow down Thursday and Friday, but I have to be on my best behavior because I am going up to the University of Findlay. And I'm going to watch some basketball. Matter of fact, I'm going to watch the women's game. And then I'm going to watch the men's game. And I'll return back home after that. And hopefully, then I can get some sleep, I guess. I don't know. Hey, welcome to my world. And it is my world, but it's also yours. And we're going to talk about a lot of different stuff tonight. But first, we have to do a disclaimer. You know, Michael has his, and I have to have mine. So nothing in the show should be considered legal, medical, financial, or investment advice. Take what we say with a grain of salt, and always do your own research and due diligence. That's the key word, due diligence. We're not responsible for and expressly disclaim all liability for damages of any kind arising out of use, reference to, or reliance on any information contained in this broadcast. Any persons or characters, I do mean characters, mentioned are for the most part fictional or as close to it as we can get. So sit back, relax, and chill out. And oh, by the way, tell your friends to join us every Wednesday live at 8 p.m. You never know what we're going to discuss. Sometimes I don't even know what I'm going to discuss. Well, I kind of do. I plan the show before I come on. But do I have lengthy things to talk about? No, not necessarily. there's a lot of stuff that's going on, and I think we ought to know about it. We ought to talk about it. Because if we don't talk and communicate, then guess what? Life's dull. Well, anyhow, guys, welcome to the Trim Radio Network and my world. And you know, we always do shout outs, and a big shout out to the Trim Radio Network. And I'll tell you what, on the Trim Radio Network, man, we have America's funniest online dates, Bare Knuckles Radio Show. We've got Fishing in Florida Show with Rascala. We've got Money and Change. Hey, that's coming up Sunday. We have the Red Pill Reality Show. We have Spiritual Freedom Show. We have Take Point 22 Radio Show. We have the Brighter Life Show and much more. So you want to tune in to Trim Radio Network. You know, we go all over the world. I mean, literally, I have people that listen to my show, especially with Money and Change. I've got people in Myanmar. I've got people in India. I've got people in South Africa and other countries around the world. I just don't have anybody in Iceland. I wish people from Iceland would say, hey, we understand that you have a show. We listen to it. We like it. But I'll tell you what, we're all over, and we've got our archive shows and everything else. And I'll tell you what, if you want to support the shows that we have, shop in our store, buy some merchandise. You can get all kinds of stuff. And it helps support the show. I don't get paid for doing any of my shows. I don't want to be paid. I want to help people out. I want to have some fun sometimes. And tonight's the fun night. So join us at Trim Radio Network. Every week we've got something going on, and it's trimradio.com. We cut the bull and we serve the truth. So you want to check us out on trimradio.com. Wow. I told you it was a wild couple of days. And people said, well, what do you do? Well, I'm retired. Yeah, I'm retired. I'm busier in retirement than I was. Well, no, not really. I was busy when I was working. Pretty busy. I had 60 facilities I had to follow up on my staff and everything else. And it was, I had large facilities, food service facilities at the University of Cincinnati and Owens Community College and Ohio University Southern and so forth. I also had federal facilities, and Wright-Patterson Air Force Base was one. And it was kind of neat. I was pretty busy then. I covered half the state of Ohio. I don't do that on this show, but I am busy, daggone it. But a big shout out to Trim Radio Network for carrying the show. Big shout out to the University of Findlay in Findlay, Ohio. That's www.findlay.edu. It's a good school. You can get an associate's degree, a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, doctorate degree, additional training. Oh, they have a lot of stuff up there. They have great facilities. They have good professors. They have good students. They have good administrators. Trust me, they are good. And you know what? I may have to drive a couple hours to get there, but I like going up there. It's such a nice, it's a beautiful campus. And it's kind of laid back, and that's what I like. And the academics are very, very good, very stringent. So if you're looking for a very good school, they're in the top 15 hidden gems in the state of Ohio. They're in the top 100 universities in the country. Check them out. University of Findlay, www.findlay.edu. Hey, a big shout out to Rusty Ducks Custom Pens. And both Michael and I have pens made by Phil over at Rusty Ducks Custom Pens. They come out perfect. I mean, these are presentation pens. They are, and they're custom. And he really does an excellent job. And that's the pen from Soup to Nuts, beginning to end. Presentation box, the whole bit. He also does the centered parts, the blanks is what he likes to call it. And he does the artwork and the molding for the plastic and everything else. He does an excellent job, trust me. And by the way, I'm going to be seeing Phil tomorrow. And I'll ask him what new pens he's actually working on, because I know he does quite a lot. Well, hey, check him out at Rusty Ducks Custom Pens on Facebook. It could be Rusty Ducks Custom Pens in Blanks. But check him out. Hey, big shout out to Money and Change every Sunday night, 7 p.m. And we talk a little bit about the world of finance and everything that's going on. Oh, and how to save some money and how to prepare some more. And that's every Sunday at 7 p.m. Well, and then we have Wednesday nights. It's My World, Life, Laugh, and Whatever. And right here at 8 p.m. on Trim Radio Network. A big shout out to Brad and Krista, the Big Family Homestead, on YouTube. And they are out in a place called Wisconsin where it's cold. I think Luke Fickle, who was the coach at University of Cincinnati, I wonder if he's going to like it out there, because it does get cold. Hopefully he likes cold. If not, he'll learn to like it. I know Brad and Chris have learned to like it, especially when they have 2 and 3 feet of snow in the wintertime. Also, Deep South Homestead with Danny and Wanda King. These guys are super, super, super. They have a small farm down in Wiggins, Mississippi. I think Wiggins is about 100 miles north of the Gulf of Mexico. And it's a small farm, but they are trying to be as self-sufficient as they can be. They raise cattle, they have crops, they have different types of things going on. They talk about all kinds of stuff. And Porch Time on Sundays, you actually get it on Monday. He records on Sunday, and then he puts it up on Monday. He's got, man, I'll tell you, Danny has so much knowledge between his ears. It's pathetic. He's done so many things, and he's really an intelligent person. You have to listen to Deep South Homestead with Danny and Wanda King. Also, Dave Kobler with Southern Prepper One. He likes to go by SP1, but I've talked to Dave several times. I've corresponded with him over the years. He's a very intelligent person. He talks about prepping. He also talks about the economy that's going on here in the States. He does boots on the ground, and people call him and tell him, hey, did you know this store's running out of X, Y, and Z? Did you know that there's a shortage of this, that, and the other? Did you know the prices went up? Did you know that, hey, guess what? I found gasoline for $3 a gallon. Whoa. Or, gee, we're out of diesel fuel or whatever. People sent him stuff from all over the country. And Dave spends at least 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes discussing everything that's going on. And he even had a special this morning about planes not flying. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. Also, Prepper Nurse One, Ed Carswell, he is in West Virginia. He is going to learn about West Virginia. It's a beautiful state. It really is. But it's hilly. And he's going to get used to that. But their climate is different than upper New York, where he's from. So anyhow, that's our shout outs. And, you know, hey, check him out on YouTube. Check him out on the Trim Radio Network. Check him out on Facebook. They're good people. And if they weren't good people, I wouldn't shout them out on this show. Well, so much for the shout outs. You know, this week has been crazy. Actually, the last couple of weeks have been crazy. I've been working on a research paper that I have to turn in for one of the groups that I belong to. And we like to do it 5 times a year. And every time I start to get my fingers working on a keyboard on the computer and I'm doing research all over and I get these ideas, you run into write and rewrite and refine and, you know, and then you have spell checker and everything else for Microsoft Word. It drives me nuts sometimes. And over the past, I think, 3 or 4 weeks, it's drove me crazy. I went to actually take one of my old research articles that I did years ago, and I was going to incorporate it into another one that I'm working on now. And I thought, oh, I'll just go in and edit and do some things. Work some magic. I couldn't do it. I was so frustrated, I was ready to call up Microsoft and tell them what they could do and where they could put it. But I don't think that they would want to listen to that. And I don't think I could be very positive in talking to them, so I didn't call them up. But what happens is old documents get put into view and you can't edit them. And I had some articles that I had written, oh, I think 4 or 5 years ago, that had some really good information. I thought, well, I could do some copy and paste and add them to this one presentation I'm going to be doing either this month or the next time we meet. And we only meet 5 times a year. So anyhow, I thought, let's try to copy and paste it into a new article. And then save it with the same name again, but in the newer format for Word. And let's see if that works. Well, it does. So if you get a document that says Word, or it's in Word, and it says view, and it will only let you view but not edit or do anything with it, just copy the whole thing and paste it onto a blank sheet. And keep the name the same and save it. Then go back into the old one, check your dates when you did it, and delete it. And you're in the new format and you don't have to worry about this. Well, I didn't think about that. It took me 3 weeks to get it through my head. You know, what head I have. And it worked today. I mean, things just fell into place. I thought, boy, that's great. So I was doing something with my brain today on 4 hours of sleep for 2 days. So hopefully that helps you out if you're working in Microsoft Office, because they've made some changes and they don't really tell you what the changes are. And then you have to go in and find out for yourself. And you find out that they have messed things up again. I know enough about computers that when you have a program and you've run it for quite a while and you've made subtle changes, sometimes you have to go back to the root of the program, to the very beginning of the code, to be able to see if what you're putting in works. And sometimes Microsoft doesn't do that. In that case, Apache OpenOffice is a free Office program that they use it in a lot of different countries. And guess what? You can save it in anything. Word documents, PDFs and so forth, TIFFs, GIFs, you can do anything with that. I've used it before and it has some things to get used to. I'm used to Office. I mean, I've always used Office. I've always used it, and it's okay. But every time they mess with something, it always messes stuff up. You know what I mean? Well, anyhow, that's what was going on with some of my stuff, my presentation. It's been reviewed, by the way, with Dr. John Nagy, who is a well-known expert in the area that I'm working with, and he's in Florida. I've talked to him a few times, and he agreed to look at my document. He said, put it into a big presentation on the internet. Well, I don't know how I'm going to do that yet. So I'm just going to go through my presentation here the next time I do it. We'll see what floats. Well, hey, what's happening in our world? A lot. And you know what scares me is that there's so much going on in the financial world. There's so much going on in sports. It makes you just think of things. And you're watching sports. And people were watching the Bengals game with the Buffalo Bills. And the one player for Buffalo got hurt. And next thing you know, here comes the ambulance and the medics and everything. They're working on him. And everybody is really concerned for the guy. I would be too. And he gets transported to University of Cincinnati Hospital. Well, that used to be one of my facilities when I worked in Cincinnati. And I would go up there and I would do facility inspections in the areas where I was supposed to be. And one day, I think it was the first year that I worked down in Cincinnati, I was always looking for a place to park that was close. And I kind of thought, well, hey, I'm going to park in this one area next to this one pavilion. They had like five pavilions and this was close to everything. And I pulled in, the security guard said, oh, hi, how are you doing? Welcome to University of Cincinnati Hospital. And what can I do for you? I said, well, I'm here to do a facility inspection. And I gave him my business card. He said, just find a spot to park, any place to park. Go ahead. And I wasn't going to be charged for it. And it was close to everything. I thought, oh, I'm going to do it. So I did. And I walked to my building where I was supposed to be. And I go in and I'm talking to my manager for that one area. And it was in food service and vending. And I said, hey, I said, you know, I have to do a facility inspection. I'm only going to be here, you know, maybe an hour at the most. And I'll get out of your hair. And he said, oh, no problem. No problem. We were fairly good friends. And I said, hey, everything's looking good and everything's paperwork's fine and so forth. And Danny says, hey, I got to go out and talk to somebody for a second. I said, okay. The second goes by, he comes in, he says, oh my God, there's some bigwig came in and parked down in the pavilion area and he's here doing an inspection and everybody's going nuts. I said, well, who did you talk to? He says, I talked to the gray uniforms. I said, well, who are they? Oh, that's the mortuary group. I'm like, ew. And then he bumps into somebody else and they were blue. And they said, oh, well, that's surgical. And this is this. They're all talking about it. The whole area was talking about a facility inspection. They were going nuts. And I pulled Danny aside. I said, hey, I said, I think I can calm things down. I said, I was looking for a place to park. And I told him about the parking lot and telling the guard. And he said, well, the guard called and told everybody that there was going to be a facility inspection. I said, oh, geez, don't tell anybody until I get out of here. University of Cincinnati Hospital is a large facility. They also have a medical school there. And a lot of doctor's offices. I didn't want anybody being mad at me. Well, anyhow, I finished out, got back in my car. The guard was there and he said, did you have a good inspection? I said, everything was fantastic. See you. And I got out of there. I got back to my office and Danny said, well, they finally calmed down, but there was an inspection. You were doing me. I said, yeah, that's right. But University of Cincinnati Hospital, they were working on this football player on the field. It was their, I guess, their medical crew. And they transported him to the hospital. And a few days later, the guy is out. He is back in Buffalo. He's home with his family. He's doing better. He's walking and talking on his own. And that's great. One question came to mind, though. I mean, he got hit, they said, at the right time in the chest, and it caused a cardiac event. And I can imagine that would. My question is, did he get the jab and the boosters? And would that be a cause? The only reason I'm saying is, I saw a video today that somebody sent me that had people interviewing, saying, well, they got the jab and the doctors talked them into it and so forth. And they went ahead with it. And 6 months later, one is speaking with the trach in her throat. Another one is in a wheelchair being tube fed. Other people had other problems. I wonder if that football player had that problem. I've seen reports of people in the Bahamas, a basketball player, a young girl, was playing basketball and she just collapsed. Well, they don't know what caused the problem. And that interview was on this afternoon. I just watched it briefly on YouTube. And they were trying to explain some of the things. And I've been to the Bahamas before. And it was interesting. And they're going to find out, you know, what's going on. They will get to the bottom of it. But the health treatment for athletes, is that as good as what we get when we go in? You know, WLW Radio was talking about what they have for professional athletes. If they get injured on the field, they have doctors, they have x-ray facilities, they have treatment facilities, they have the ambulance or the helicopter that can come and pick them up and take them to the hospital. And it's all pre-planned, pre-staged, anywhere that there's a professional football team, any place that there's a university football team, whether it's Ohio State or Tennessee or Georgia or wherever. But do they get the same treatment that we would get if something happened to us? What happens when you go into the doctor? Did they only give you 20 minutes of their time, or can they talk a little bit about different things? Can they solve issues? Or do they just push it off on somebody else and say, well, you'll see this specialist and they know more about it than I do? It's a kind of like a referral service. Has medicine gone down the tubes in the United States? Something to think about. How about the flying today? Remember, there was a report that the planes were grounded this morning. There was a NOTAM situation, which was, it's a notification for pilots and airlines. And it tells them what the restrictions are, where they can and cannot go, how the weather is, and yada, yada. Well, something happened to the computers today and it shut everything down. Whether or not the computers were old or they haven't been updated or something was going on. And Southern Prepper One, Dave Kogler, he said on his show today, he said, here's just a notification. The sky is clear. There are no planes in the sky. Nobody's flying. And that's because this NOTAM is down. Everything is down. And he was talking about the Charlotte Airport, Greensboro, Charlotte, I believe. And I flew in there a couple of times. Nice little airport. And then later on, they said, oh, it's coming back online and all the schedules are messed up. Well, it would be if you don't get out in the morning and it's delayed till afternoon, and then your afternoon flights are delayed until evening and so forth. It creates a mess. Just like Southwest Airlines when they had the big snowstorm and their scheduling problems and so forth. They'll have to dig out of that one. And think of the public relations. People standing in line for hours and hours and hours, sleeping in airports. They can't get their flights. They can't get back home. They can't get back to work. They're stuck. Because something in the scheduling wasn't right. Or some flight crews didn't show up due to the storm. Whatever the cause was. And that just brings up the question, to fly or not to fly. That is the question. It's like the to be or not to be, that is the question type thing. I used to love to fly. When I was based in Columbus at our main office, I had a chance to fly to different places. I also had, I would take my vacations and fly to different places. I would fly to Houston, Texas or Dallas, Texas. Or I'd fly to Florida, and I'd always like takeoffs and landings. And so I would fly, for example, from Columbus to Milwaukee in Wisconsin. And from there, they would say, well, we can't get you from here to there, but we can get you there. I'm like, okay, tell me how. Or we're going to fly you to Chicago. Then we're going to fly you to Memphis. And then we're going to fly you from Memphis to Houston, Texas. And I was basically in the air the whole day, and I loved it. I really loved it. You know, you didn't have to mask up in those days, or, you know, you could just relax and have a nice flight. And now it's a lot different. Do I really want to fly again? I don't know. If I flew to Florida, it cuts time down. And I don't have to drive. And I don't drive it in one day. I take a couple of days to go down that way. I take as flat a land as I can take so I don't go through the mountains a lot. And I cut across Tennessee and then into maybe Mississippi and then over to Alabama, then Georgia, then into Florida. And I'm down there in 2.5 days to Tampa. I mean, I could fly it in a couple hours, maybe straight through, or maybe a layover in Atlanta. People hate Atlanta for some reason. I don't mind it. Like I said, I love to fly. I like to watch people, you know, they totally go crazy running to an airport trying to catch a plane that just took off and they didn't know it. Well, anyhow, to fly or not to fly, that is the question. That's what you need to determine whether or not you're going to do that on your next vacation. Florida's looking awful good right now, guys. I wish I could do a remote from Florida. It would be really nice. Hey, another thing that's happened is the thing with the Donald and now Joe. Joe plugs hiding documents too. And he was vice president when he was doing that, according to the reports that I heard today. Now, the Don, better known as President Trump, was president. And he can declass any document that he wants. A vice president can't do that, from what I've heard. So the pot's calling the kettle black, and vice versa. It's going to get interesting. It really is. Then something else came up today. Permanent COVID. And I believe that was on, let's see here. Zero Hedge had that. And they were talking about the President Biden saying that, hey, we could have a permanent situation with the pandemic. We all may have to mask up again. We all may have to do this, that, and the other. When the scientists are coming out and saying, well, masking, maybe, washing and sanitizing hands, yeah, that's a good practice. Fresh air and sunlight, that, hey, that's a good thing too. We don't have to sequester ourselves. A lot of things come out, and you listen to different people. I listened to Dr. John Bergman last week on viruses. And he was talking about different things. And then this week he was talking about celiac disease and so forth. You say, are you a doctor? No, I'm not. But I think it's interesting. It really is. I mean, he does it in a humorous way. True Health Tuesdays. I try to get that. Usually it's late Tuesday night when it gets up, or Wednesday. And I usually watch it every Wednesday. And it's interesting. And he's a funny guy, but he makes a lot of good points. In some cases, more points than my doctor does. So are we going to go back into a permanent COVID again? I don't know. I hope not. They don't need to shut the businesses down. People need to make a living. They have to feed the kids. They have to feed, you know, the old man, the family, the extended family, whatever. They have to pay the bills. And if they're sick, okay, fine. Stay home. Take the precautions. And we'll see you in 5 days. But permanent COVID, I don't think we want to go back there. That did so much harm to the United States over that period. And that's what's scary. And you get all kinds of stuff in the news, like people that are jogging and just collapse for no reasons. There are a lot of problems out there. And then you've got stuff over in Ukraine. And where is the money going that we're sending over there? Has it been accounted for? The big question, you send billions and billions of dollars to a country, how's that being spent? There ought to be some way to audit and make sure what money we pass out of our own good hearts, gets used where it's supposed to and not going into somebody else's pocket. Well, hey, there was a thing about Americans Gas Association that says possible ban on gas stove, reckless, not based on sound science. What kind of stove do you have? I've got an electric stove. It's a glass top. I love it. It's an induction stove. My first one. I've always had electric. When I was in Cincinnati, I had a gas stove. It wasn't bad, but I could always smell a little bit of gas. I'm kind of leery. I was in a gas explosion one time working in a factory, and the machine just wouldn't start. And the foreman came over, I should say the ex-foreman, because he just lit a match and threw it over the top of the machine, and it went kaboom. Next thing you know, I was thrown back about 20 feet into a bank of equipment shells that we were making at that time. And the foreman had slid back into my chest and between my legs. We don't know how we got there. We were lucky we weren't blown to smithereens. And the reason why I said ex-foreman, because the plant superintendent came over and he said, well, I could take the rest of the day off paid, no problems, if I wasn't hurt or they'd send me to the hospital. And as for the supervisor, he said, well, guess what? You're going to be working in assembly from now on. You're no longer a supervisor. Gas, if you treat it right, it's a good cooking method. There are a lot of good cooking methods. But somehow the POTUS, the current POTUS, is kind of upset. They say that he wants to do away with gas and wood stoves. What would that do to the electrical grid if we did that? What would that do for the markets? Now you have to switch from a gas stove to a wood stove. How would that affect the gas supply companies? A lot of crazy things. And that came out today. It's just all kinds of crazy stuff in the news. And that's in our world. What's going on with us? And it makes me kind of take aback, and I look at it and go, is everybody really sane anymore? Have they been wearing the mask too long? I think so. I mean, I see crazy drivers in town. They don't even stop. They go up to a stop sign that says stop, and they go right on through. Oh, well, I wasn't paying attention. Sorry, my bad. Could have been my front bumper. That's a constant prep. That's constant stuff going on in my town. I don't know about yours, but the drivers here have gotten worse. I feel safer on the internet. I feel safer on the internet, but I feel safer on the interstate than I do on city streets where I live. And that's strange. It's amazing what an invented disease can do. Well, anyhow, so much for that. Hey, you know, when I was in school, I was trying to think today about chemistry class. Did you ever take chemistry in high school? Well, I'll tell you what. I was in chemistry class. Good people. I had an excellent teacher. Mr. Grove was he was excellent. And he was known as Forrest T. Groves. And if you looked him up on Believe It or Not, Ripley's Believe It or Not, he was actually in there. And his name was Forrest Trees Groves. Well, we asked him if it was true. And he said, no, my middle name is Truman. Truman. So one afternoon, somebody called Mrs. Groves. And she said, no, his name is Trees. And his sister was Stormy Weather Groves. Crazy family, but he was very smart. He taught for Miami University off campus at the high school at nights, as well as the physics teacher that I had. I mean, we had some teachers that taught nights for college, and we had them during the day for high school. So we had some, they were good and they were tough. But I wasn't in the smartest class in chemistry. And to give you some idea of how the class was, Mr. Grove would stand at his desk at the front of the class, and he would line everybody up. You know, he'd sit in your rows. Usually the pretty girls always got in the first four rows, then the guys got punished to the back. Mr. Groves was okay, but, you know, I mean, we got to wonder about that. And we think the farther back they sat, the uglier they got. And the farther back we sat, the dumber we got. Well, anyhow, Mr. Groves always did his questioning. He would start at the beginning of the row, and he would work his way to the back. And he'd ask the question, and the person that answered it first that wouldn't come up with a good answer, he'd say, be more specific. He goes to the next person, be more specific. It was like that every day, question after question. Be more specific. Well, finally, he came to our row one day, And he starts out at the beginning of the row. Of course, the cutest gal was sitting in the front row. She'd answer the question the way that she thought it should be. He said, no, be more specific. It goes to the next one. Be more specific. Be more specific. He finally comes to me. And I gave him what I thought was a very good answer to this question on acids. It was acids and bases, if I remember right. And he says, be more specific. And he goes and he looks at the guy behind me. He says, Mr. Stover, what's the answer to the question? Well, Jim gives the answer. And Mr. Grove said, be more specific. And he says, hell, Mr. Groves, I'm reading it right out of the book. You could hear a pin drop, and then you could hear a bunch of people chuckling in the background. We got old Woody. We got him good. We weren't the best class. I mean, I'm honest about it, you know. Physics, hey, I did really well in physics, but chemistry, is a little different for me. We had a thing, I like to call it flaming times. I could write a book about the stuff in high school, and maybe you could too. But we had two guys, we all had workstations, and I had a good lab partner, and we got along well, and we had two guys behind us at the next set of workstations. And Mr. Grove came in one day and he says, well, we're going to work with naphtha and we are going to heat it up to a certain amount. Do not cause it to boil over and do not expose it to water. Do not cause it to catch fire. So we're doing our experiment and the guys behind me got the naphtha too hot. It bubbled over. There was a flame. So they dumped it down the drain, added water to it, and Mr. Grove was over at his desk and he jumps up and he goes, no! As he's running towards it. And this 4-foot flame shoots up out of the drain. And the two guys that were back there were saying, well, we're just trying to put out the fire. And the other guy turns the water on even more. And the flame goes to the ceiling in the chemistry lab and singes the ceiling. Mr. Grove comes over, takes an asbestos plate, puts it over the drain, turns off the water. And he goes, you two sit over at your desks.
Golly gee, Mr. Groves. Can we come back to lab tomorrow?
Never. Never this semester.
Gee, are we going to pass?
I don't think so. And our class would just laugh. And then we had a gal in class. Every Friday in the fall, all the people in the marching band had to dress up in dark slacks or navy dresses or skirts for the gals and white tops. It was mandatory. That was our school uniform every Friday. We had to be in it. Well, in chemistry lab, we had to wear these aprons, long aprons, and rubberized and so forth. And one of the gals, I'll just say Judy, I won't give out her last name. She's still living and she knows where I lived, and I don't want to get mugged. But Judy was there at her desk and we were working with acids. You like to work with acids for some reason. And she forgot to put on her apron. She had rubber gloves on her hands and so forth, but she was picking up the acid and she did something. It knocked the beaker over. The acid came down the workstation and fell onto her dress in a precarious spot. And if I said woo-ha or aha, you know where I meant. It just dropped right in the waha, right in the center of the dress. And he went and got some neutralizer base. put it on both cloths, and then proceeded to dab this from inside the dress and on top of the dress. Whoa. Everybody was laughing like crazy. And poor Judy, she was in total panic. She didn't know what to do. And he finally looked at her and he says, "Miss Smith, you have 1 minute to get to the restroom and we will call your mother and have her bring you new clothes."
But gee, Mr. Groves, what am I going
to
do?
"You have 30 seconds to get to the restroom." So she runs down the hall, down the steps, up the steps to the next wing of the school. We were a three-story high school. And she's running down the hall. The bell rings. Everybody leaves to change classes. Of course, we were in lab. We had two periods of lab. And everybody broke up into laughter because Judy's dress disintegrated. Literally disintegrated. And Mr. Grove just goes, "I told her. She had 1 minute, and then she caused another problem. And now she has 30 seconds, and then she leaves, and she suffers the consequences." And so then he assigned somebody to go down and call her mother and so forth. Oh, it was, our class was the worst. And we run into that, you know, things you think about when you were in high school. Did you have that? What kind of stories would you have? Was your high school like Animal House? Ours was. A lot of the guys that were in my graduating class went on to be doctors and lawyers and researchers and things like that. I mean, oh, it was just great people. And then there was us, you know. Well, anyhow, it was an interesting time in school. I thought, well, we talked about that. I talked about band before, but I didn't talk about the chemistry class, because chemistry class was kind of fun. So what places and what things happened in your high school when you were going to school? Could you write a book about it? You know, when you remember things like that, it's like Technicolor and yesterday. Well, so much for back then. Hey, how about some jokes? Two dragons walk into a bar. And the first one says, "It sure is hot in here." And his friend snaps back and says, "Shut your mouth." A screwdriver rolls into a bar and the bartender says, "Hey, we have a drink named after you." And the screwdriver squeals, "You have a drink named Philip?" A barman says, "We don't serve time travelers in here." The time traveler walks into a bar. Don't blame me, that's Reader's Digest. You know, I got to keep things clean. There was this rope walked into a bar, and the bartender says, "We don't serve ropes." So the rope leaves. And he ties a knot in himself and then he frays his head. And he comes in. He says, the bartender says, "Say, aren't you a rope? Weren't you just in here?" And he says, "Frayed knot." A freshman walks into a bar with a cat on his shoulder. And the cat is wearing a little baseball cap. And "Hey, that's neat," said the bartender. "Where did you get that?" He said, "France," the kitty says. "I got millions of them." I'm just reading them, guys. Come on. Give me a break. Infinitely many mathematicians walk into a bar. The first says, I'll have a beer. The second says, I'll have half a beer. And the third says, I'll have a quarter of a beer. And before anyone else can speak, the barman fills up exactly two glasses of beer and serves them. Come on now, he says to the group. You guys have got to learn your limits. Well, anyhow, the one that I always heard was an Indian walks into the bar and he orders a beer and the bartender brings him a beer. He orders some chips. And the Indian didn't pay for anything. The Indian chief walks out, brings in a bull, a raging bull, brings him into the bar, takes a gun, shoots the bull dead, drinks his beer, mashes his potato chips, throws the mug of beer into the big mirror, you know, behind the bar, breaks it to smithereens, smashes the glass. And the bartender says, hey, who do you think you are? And he says, me, management. He says, what do you mean, your management? Me, make management decisions. He says, well, what do you do? He says, I come in here. He says, I drink. I shoot the bull, mess the place up, and leave. And that's typical management. You can tell that to your boss if you want. I thought you'd like that one, Michael. It beats a panda walks into a bar and he gobbles some beer nuts and then pulls out a pistol and fires it in the air and heads to the door. And hey, shouts the bartender. But the panda yells back, I'm a panda, Google me. Sure enough, panda, a tree climbing mammal with distinct black and white coloring, eats, shoots, and leaves. And with that, Michael, I'll see you Sunday on Money and Change.
All right, guys, thanks for tuning in to Money and Change with Stu Scheer. And I'm at, thanks for tuning into my world. Live, laugh, or whatever with Stu Scheer. And we will see you on Sunday with Money and Change. There we go. Now we got it right. Anyway, God bless you. I hope you all have a wonderful week. And enjoy yourselves. Be kind. Love one another. Pray for one another. It won't hurt you. And with that, we're out of here. Later, Stu.
See ya. The book.